The horrific circumstances surrounding the death last month of a 7-year-old boy in Newark, New Jersey, have renewed concern about child protective services nationwide. The field tends to be overlooked until there's a tragedy. New York City had its own notorious incident in 1995 when a 6-year-old girl was beaten to death by her mother. That case led to a restructuring of New York's child protective services. New York is held out as an example of what government should be doing to protect children's lives, but those gains are being threatened. In part two of a week-long series on child welfare, NPR's Brian Naylor reports.
In 1995, the New York City child welfare system was an underfunded backwater, much like its counterpart in New Jersey today. Caseworkers investigating complaints of abuse and neglect were overwhelmed by the volume of work. Tools such as computers to track cases were non-existent. There weren't even enough phones to go around. John Mattingly is a child welfare specialist with the N.E.E. Casey Foundation.
It was a routine operation that if you had to remove a kid from a Bronx tenement, or you had to remove 4 or 5 kids, you were on your own. You had to pile whatever you could of the children's belongings into garbage bags, and then you had to trot the kids down to the bus and the subway and take them downtown on the subway, very upset, very unhappy, very worried.
Then tragedy struck. A 6-year-old girl, Elisa Izquierdo, was beaten to death by her mother after at least 8 allegations of abuse had been made to authorities. The case prompted much soul-searching, and then-Mayor Rudolph Giuliani vowed to make changes. A new agency was built from the ground up, one that dealt solely with children's welfare, with a commissioner that reported directly to the mayor. Helped by a flush economy, city leaders poured money into the system, hiring more caseworkers, raising salaries, buying computers and cars, and instituting an extensive training program. Today, the Administration for Children's Services, ACS, occupies a nondescript office building in Lower Manhattan. A small children's play area provides a bright splash of color amidst a warren of gray cubicles where caseworkers and their supervisors work. Willie Joachim sits in a small, stuffy office home to the application intake system where a minimum of 30 new cases a day are processed.
Busy, busy, busy. And all our work should be done the same day. We have no leftover for tomorrow. Everything had to be done the same day.
The press of cases, the sense of urgency, and the nature of the work leads to a high level of stress among caseworkers. A flyer tacked on a hallway bulletin board announces a stress management workshop. Bola Amin supervises 4 caseworkers. He tells them they are the front lines, like the Marines, he says.
Having to go into people's home, and nobody actually wants you in their home. But we have a job to do, and sometimes people will let you in. There won't be no problem. Sometimes it does slam on your face. And then the trauma of removing children and the stress level is real, real high.
Still, compared to elsewhere in the nation, the work here is manageable. Caseworkers in New York average 11 cases. That compares to more than 50 for the caseworker in the Newark abuse incident. And there is a level of dedication among them. Trevor John has worked at ACS for 5 years, dealing with some of the worst cases of abuse. As an African-American, John says he is particularly concerned with the overrepresentation of minorities among the children he deals with.
One of the things is that we see is that 95% of ACS's caseload is minorities. And what I would like to do is decrease that disparity, you know, get it to something a little bit more manageable or not so heavily outweighed. And by affecting the children first is one way to do it.
One distinguishing characteristic of ACS is the training. Caseworkers and supervisors go through extensive seminars teaching everything from recognizing indicators of child abuse to preparing to testify at family court. On this day, supervisors discussed some of their problematic cases and how to deal with them.
She has a 16-year-old daughter who was not going to school. She hadn't been to school in almost a year, as well as a 14-year-old son who was also not going to school.
Okay, good. So excellent. This is a case where we've got a family that is culturally different, and as a supervisor, you wanted to enable your worker by getting a snapshot of the family.
The reforms at ACS have been widely praised, but there is still a way to go, according to consumers of the system, that is, the children it serves. At 18, Aileen Taylor is remarkably poised, considering her difficult youth. She's been in and out of foster homes since birth, as her mother has been in and out of jail. Aileen has been abused and separated from her siblings. The system, she says, has not been that helpful.
At one time, in the course of 9 months, I had 15 different social workers. And I had a unique case because at that time I had a child abuse case and I had a sexual abuse case. And my caseworkers were changing so much, like no one knew my case. I had to tell my story over and over again. It was like really, really crazy.
Aileen lives in a group home with other older children and works at a program, Voices for Youth, where among other things she helps train ACS caseworkers. She says the system is set up to fail children.
ACS feels like they treat basically the same cuts and bruises with one Band-Aid. You can't put a little Band-Aid on a big cut, and everybody's situation is different.
It's likely that the 15 different social workers Aileen once had over the course of a year were not all with ACS. New York contracts out 80% of its foster child care to private agencies who employ their own caseworkers. It's a complex web, and the distinctions between city workers and private contractors are not always clear. Gail Naowith is director of the Citizens Committee for Children and chairs a panel which oversees ACS in New York. She acknowledges it's a work in progress.
Unfortunately, children can't wait for the system to be perfect because kids grow up in real time and the bureaucracy changes in government time or political time, and it's not really equivalent. The system has to do a better job of keeping families together in the first instance when it's safe, and at the very least, keeping siblings together because these are the relationships that bind and that tie kids to their future.
Because of massive budget problems in New York, ACS potentially faces a budget shortfall. Foster care services alone face a 20% cutback. Advocates fear big cuts will lead to backsliding at the agency, erasing some of the reforms, and increasing the likelihood of another tragedy. Brian Naylor, NPR News, New York.
Tomorrow, Florida decides to try harder to keep families together before placing children in foster care homes.